ta-na-na, ta-na-na. She got diamonds on the soles of her shoes.
Welcome back to Travel Bags with Anita and Friends. Now, today's show is all about exploring cultures during travel, one of my favorite things to do. And there's so many ways to do that. And we started the show in defining what culture is and then talked a little bit with the folks over at 23andMe because they're really helping people go out and explore their DNA and their heritage connected to that or tied to that. But last segment, I was speaking with Sarah Harris, who's a good friend of mine, who recently went on a trip to South Korea where she was born. So I want to pick up again and talking about that, Sarah, because your journey really makes me think about one of my first trips that I had when I was with Pan Am. My first trip to West Africa was really one of those trips where I felt like I was going to my ancestral land. Now, I don't know where my ancestors were from in West Africa, but I know that it was somewhere in that particular area. And it was such a dramatically moving experience for me because I was really ready to not only meet the people, but I was also ready to actually get out and actually touch the land or touch the ground. And I remember at one point I was standing in Senegal on an island called Gori Island in this building that they call the Door of No Return, where the Door of No Return is, where the slaves were actually taken from that particular spot and put on ships. And I just stood there just imagining, you know, what that must have been like for my ancestors to, if not through that particular door, go through some door, and just what that passage must have been like for them. And then here I am all of these years later, able to freely come back and stand there and be a part and connect to this place that would be considered my ancestral land. So I can just imagine that.
Wow, that still gives me chills.
Yeah. I mean, it's and there's so many ways I know that people go and explore, you know, their ancestral land, or in your particular case, where you were born. So your decision to return to South Korea was, I would say, a very brave one. So what feelings did you have as you were planning this? What were those feelings about that you had?
I think, to be honest, I tried to remain as open as possible. And it's not that I was trying to suppress my emotions, but I didn't want to feel nervous and really tint the lens that I'm looking through. So I tried to just remain open and calm to whatever would happen. I tried not to set up too many expectations except just to be present. So if anything, I was more nervous about leaving my kids behind. Mm-hmm. And a little bit, I was a little nervous about carrying my family's hesitations with me, and there too I was trying to respect them, but at the same time not let that affect how I would experience this trip.
So did your family have any hesitations about your going back to where you were born, or back to the orphanage in particular?
To be honest, I don't think it was a hesitation with me chasing down my roots, but more just not knowing the political environment over there, I think, because we see one version of what Korea is like, but yet I know people that go there almost annually, and they've never had problems. So, and of course, this year especially was the biggest year where our leader and their leader were really butting heads, and so who knows which way it could have gone. But I mean, honestly, while we were there, it was the safest place, and I tried to communicate that with my family immediately, and I think it helped.
Well, were you able to find any of your family either here in the U.S. or in South Korea during your research and your exploration?
During the research, we did find two different things. Number one, I had done DNA probably about 3 years ago, and initially I was just trying to find out what my other half was, knowing that I was only 50% Korean. So at the time, you know, I anticipated that there could be relatives coming out of the woodworks. And so far, I probably have like 400 new cousins, but I had never really gotten anything closer than that. Mm-hmm. So, and I had tested with all three of the brands. And, but then I did wind up finding something that was coming in as, I believe, a second cousin. And so, again, some of these angels from the group that were working with us, I sent it to them, and they were actually angels at 325 Camera, is a different nonprofit, and they really helped me. I think I sent them my information on a Sunday night, and by Monday at noon, less than 12 hours later, they said, "We think we found a biological relative that's directly related to you," and I could not believe it, but So essentially, I think this person that I had that had tied to me and came up as a second cousin was actually a half, let's see, I'm a first cousin, but to, oh, it's not going to make sense either way. So anyway, I think this person could be a biological father for me. Mm-hmm. And so this girl was actually his half brother's daughter. That's the best way to explain it.
Okay.
So anyway, and he was very willing to take the DNA test and everything, and ultimately it did confirm that it was true. And for me, it was just not, again, not anything I had ever really thought that I would get. So for me to be able to make that contact, and the fact that he was so willing to try to help me, especially knowing I was going on this trip, and to try to narrow down his path while he had been in Korea many, many years ago. And so I was very appreciative and felt very fulfilled by the fact that he was just open for conversations and to give me any information he had, which wasn't really much, but it was, you know, the fact that he was willing was wonderful, especially since I came out of nowhere, probably.
Right.
He had no idea about me. So, and then the other thing we found in my file right before I left, because of course I had gotten my file from my adoption agency and they tell you certain things. And again, I even mentioned they weren't totally consistent with their information, but then, the people working with us had actually gone back to get my paperwork from the orphanage, my first orphanage where I was turned in, it turns out. And there was an actual name of a woman who dropped me off. And that was a total shocker to me because I had always been told that I was left in the street and that a policeman had found me and turned me into the agency. And so to find that there is an actual individual, and they said historically, most likely this person was either a relative of mine, maybe a sister or a grandparent, or a sister to my, who would have been my birth mother.
Right.
So I guess it would be one of my aunts or a grandparent, or it could even be my direct biological mother. So at this point, we had gone to the address that was listed on the paperwork, but knowing that it's very likely that it could have been falsified. But we showed up in the neighborhood where the address was, and it turns out it was totally being demolished because they're improving so quickly and they're modernizing that the neighborhood has been torn down and they're putting in these high rises, and it was just surreal a little bit. But I was able to get a picture by the street sign of the street that I was supposedly found and turned in. So that was neat too. I mean, it definitely grounded me to a spot on this globe where my fairy tale in my head was actually a reality. Though the story didn't change much, it was at least real now. So that was a big deal.
Well, I would think just to touch that ground. Now, this is Travel Bags with Anita and Friends, and I am speaking with Sarah Harris, who recently returned to South Korea where she was born. So what were your reactions or your thoughts and feelings then when you went to the actual orphanage?
It was, I think I was a little bit nervous about that at first, just because I didn't know, I don't know. I was hopeful to be able to see the grounds and to see that it was in pretty good shape. And who knows what it looked like back in the 70s, but the fact that it was still around and it was a well-oiled machine, it gave me confidence in the fact that I was taken care of back then. You know, I can't remember any of it, so I have to piece together all those steps. But, and then it made me feel great that they are so willing to talk to adoptees and to really try to help them with their history and to try to figure out what's in their files. And so that was very helpful. We had a translator with us, fortunately. And so anytime we had questions, we would just ask, what does this line mean? And he would tell us. And so then he did provide copies of the pages he could. And he didn't, you know, there are some other pages where I was like one of 10 babies turned in that day. So he can't provide the whole page to me because it's got other people's identifying information. But I was able to see this is the line where they registered me into the orphanage, that kind of stuff. And I think it was just neat to be able to really see and put my fingers on my history.
Absolutely. And, oh, your story is just, oh, it's really warmed my heart to hear it and given me some chill bumps as well.
Thank you.
I'll say again, I think it was very brave of you to go on this journey, but really just a way to really, as you just said, really connect with a particular place. And it's no longer like a fairy tale. It is real.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I think it also helped me just find, be more connected with myself and be more grounded with myself. And I can't even explain exactly why. But again, I think it's largely because the fairy tale is now a reality, and I can acknowledge that, okay, this little baby inner child came from that land.
Right.
So.
Now, I know that you're going to share some more of your story on your blog, which is makemewonder.com. But Sarah, thank you so much for sharing the story. I wish we had another hour for me to hear more about it, because it's really fascinating. But thank you so very much for sharing your story with me and with the listeners.
Thank you so much for including me in your show. I love listening to your show.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Now, and thank you guys for listening as well. This has been Travel Bags with Anita and Friends. Appreciate you joining us today as we went on another series of Traveling with Friends on Travel Bags with Anita and Friends. Bye-bye.